Ryan Silverfield is the head coach for Memphis, and it is game week. They have Chattanooga coming up on Saturday, 3:30 in Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. He is on X, R. Silverfield. Coach, how's it going? Good to talk with you.
Yeah, Gabe, fired up to be here. Excited to always talk to you and to make this a weekly thing. This is going to be fantastic.
Absolutely. All right, now this is your first camp and first season with twin baby girls. Now, listen, congrats is in order for you and your wife. I have to get that out of the way, so congrats. But I need to ask, are you well rested? You all good, right? Like,
yeah,
that feels like a welfare check is in order.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Not many people, you know. As a head coach, there's not a whole lot of sleep going on anyways this time of year. So, you know, what's a little bit less time? No, it's everybody at home has been phenomenal. So I am rest assured, fans. I am getting my rest that I need, which is not much anyways. And we're ready to rock and roll. So all is well. I appreciate you checking in.
Yeah, and I know they're all a gift, but what was your reaction to first time having children and you have twins? Like, what was your reaction at that moment when you heard?
Wait, you're pregnant? Awesome. That's great. That's wonderful. So what's the boy's name going to be?
Right.
No,
yeah.
Wait, there's two in there. Oh, two boys. This is, man, two boys. Wait. Identical twin girls, huh? You say so. So, you know, my 10-year retirement plan kind of went out the window and quickly had to adapt and adjust. No, it's an absolute blessing. You talk to so many people, one with girls that are girl dads and, you know, with twins, and it's just, they just talk about how great it is. And I said, you know, with me maybe being a little bit of an older dad, that they'll take care of me here when it gets point to that point in time.
Sure. And you know, I have one of my own, just got to 9 months. Do we have a preferred walk-on spot ready to go? Something like that ready? I do have a boy. I do have a boy on my hands.
I know. For the class of 2037, he may have a full scholarship offer to Memphis. And if he's half the player you were, man, he'll be going to get him as a preseason All-American.
Oh, yes. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. All right, now getting to the team, 19 new starters. And I know every single coach around the country, especially in this transfer portal era, where you do have a lot of roster turnover, they love to tell us. They know their team. They know how ready they are. And of course, you have camp. And you see a fair amount during camp and know kind of what to expect. But how much of this situation, this team, is going to be learned this Saturday against Chattanooga?
Yeah, look, you and I joked around a couple weeks ago, right? You listened to all the Big 12 Media Day press conferences. Every single Big 12 coach said this is the best roster they've ever had. Wow, you know, holy smokes. Like, if that's the case, then, you know, we'll have 12 teams from the Big 12 in the playoffs. Right. But with all due respect to all of that, look, we know our guys. We've, you know, gone through spring, but a lot of our guys actually, and some of our starters, joined us post-spring practice, right? So, sure, you got to watch them, you know, in an OTA in their underwear, and then, you know, an August 19th training camp practice in full pads. But there's a lot more to be seen and to be told and to figure out when the Bolts are live on Saturdays on game day. And I think, yes, we're going to have a good understanding of what guys are capable of this Saturday. But then, you know, I think, let's call it what it is, I think it's going to take a few more weeks to get a full-blown understanding, right? I knew what Rock Taylor could do, right? I knew how he breathed. I knew how he walked. I knew what he would look like in the fourth quarter. You know, Seth Hennigan, I knew exactly, you know, halftime, what needed to be said. Guys of that nature that we've been around. But it's a totally different deal, so. Right. What's Brennan Lewis going to look like when adversity hits? Right. Hopefully he's not going to see a ton of it this year, but it's going to hit at some point. Right. Don't know, because we try to do that and implement those things at practice, but you can't. You really can't. Right. Like, what is it going to look like? What's Greg DeWosier going to look like if he gets to have a full healthy season of college football? Right. You know, does that mean you give him more carries? Does that mean you limit him? Does that mean Sutton Smith's getting more? Right. What do those things look like? And so there's so many of those unknowns. But look, let's call it what it is. Very, very, very excited about this roster, excited about the way this team works, the way they play for each other. And to me, I think if you got that and you find a way to play disciplined football, good results will come.
Yeah, and I know that evaluation is it's always taking place. I mean, all the way through the season. But even more in this era, is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's part of it. I mean, you know, we've seen guys that, like, oh, I think he can do this, this, and this, and the next thing you know, You know what? Maybe we had him in the wrong spot on kickoff return because we've given that chance at 2 weeks, you know, and maybe he's not better suited there. Maybe we need to, and then I think, you know, put another player in. And sometimes that's where you see, like, freshmen, like, oh, yeah, hey, why did Brady Clouse all of a sudden, you know, start on kickoff return in week six? Well, you know, we liked the guy we had there previously. We got a little banged up, and we thought that, you know, the freshman gave us a better opportunity. And I think that's, as the season goes on, sometimes you see that. Obviously, you hope you stay injury-free for the most part. But I think that evaluation, it's, you know, for us, hopefully it's a long evaluation into January.
All right, now we'll break these down into both sides of the ball. But where do you think the strengths of this team lie offensively? Offensively, what do you think you do well as of right this second?
Yeah, that's a great question, Gabe. I think we've got really good athleticism up front. You know, a bunch of athletic O-linemen like you were. Guys that can move around and play different positions. And that excites me. Quarterback, look, you know, I think all three of our guys that we mentioned at quarterback, with Brandon Lewis getting the nod as a starter, you know, I love Seth, love Brady White, love Riley Ferguson, love Paxton Lynch. You know, but I think, you know, long time Tiger fans haven't seen that athleticism back there, you know, under center. And so then you look at our running backs. We got a bunch of guys, at least with Greg DeRosier and Sutton Smith, if they can stay healthy, that are built, and I don't want to, you know, overexcite Tiger fans. Like, they have the dynamic ability of a Kenny Gainwell, right? So mm-hmm. that Tony Pollard, where they can line up and probably start at wide receiver for most teams in the country, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we got depth at wide receiver. We really do. You know, in years past, we sat there and said, okay, we knew Rock was the guy. We knew Anthony Miller was the guy. Calvin Austin was the guy. I can't sit here today and say that's the guy, but I can sit there and say, this guy could play, this guy could play, this guy could, you know. So, you know, as the season progresses, I think you do need some depth there, especially at that position. So, excited, right? And that long-winded answer, I think we do, you know, we're really, really talented at a lot of positions. But again, right, I have not seen Jakari Caldwell play against Division I competition in a long time. So right. I'm excited to watch him go out there, right? Greg DeRosier, man, you know, we got to see him in the bowl game in Tulane, but what's he going to look like week one? Because we haven't Sutton Smith coming off an ACL. So a lot of those things to be told. And just like you, right, I'll be eyes wide open on Saturday saying, oh, okay, good. That is a skill set he has. Or, ooh, well, I thought he could do this. Maybe we need to consider something else.
Now, one of the big bits of news, especially in that wide receiver room, C.J. Smith is going to start the season injured. What can you tell us about C.J.'s status and where we could potentially expect him to get back involved in things?
Yeah, he's will not play this game. He is injured, and to the length of that, I'm not sure. You know, I always leave that up to the player and to the doctors and to see where their comfort level is. And I don't have an answer for you right now, Gabe, as it sits. I don't know if it's a one-week injury or is it an entire season. You know, a great young man that's got a high upside. You know, unfortunately for him, you know, I think the last time he had a full season of healthy football was his junior year of high school. So, you know, hopefully he gets healthy and can play. If not, very, very confident there's other guys that can fill that void.
And one thing that did pop off the page for me, at least looking at the O-line, because that's where I look to first, is you've recruited some size over there at right tackle. 6'9", 315, Travis Burke from Florida International. I was beginning to be convinced that you didn't recruit size like that. I mean, truthfully, my offensive line when I was there with you, not very big. Yeah. And we got things done. 2018, the Joe Moore Award finalist, that was a small offensive line. Feels like you have some size up there that you like.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I go back to the previous years, and you know, we won a lot of football games with Gabe Kuhn, right, with Trayvon Tate, you know, 6'2", with Dylan Parham, right, 6'2".
I mean, there were years where Drew Kaiser, our center, biggest guy.
Yeah. Dustin Woodard, 6'5". You know, when I'm looking eye to eye with, you know, some of our guys, it's not a great thing. But no, you're exactly right. You know, this day and age with the portal, you know, sometimes you got to sit there and say, what's the best available? And if it's a 6'1" guy that fits our mold, great. If it's a 6'9", 330 pounder, then so be it. No, but it is, you know, someone's going to think that we borrowed somebody from the Lori Walton, you know.
You're right, exactly.
He's a big sucker and can bend and move well, which is exciting. You know, it's funny because we have some of these NFL scouts that come in, they're like, holy smokes. And then they'll look at the rest of the O-line, they're like, you know, how did you maintain that?
Like that. Yeah, where'd he come from? One of these things is not like the other.
It's in the water. We keep growing them. So.
It's
good. I think, but we're excited about it. I really think like it's, we have a lot of pieces to the puzzle in offense, and I'm telling you, like there's a lot of exciting deals. Now we got to go out there and execute. You know, last year we fans may forget, you know, even though we were top 10 in the country in scoring, we were also like third in the country in time of possession. And those usually don't go hand in hand, right? You think, oh, well, if that's the case, you must be, you know, running a triple option offense and, you know, just being effective. But I think, you know, the quarterback being able to be efficient and be able to put together 12 play drives, we'll see if we can do that. You know, also we're hoping for some more explosive plays this year.
Mm-hmm. Now, I asked you about the offense. Where do you think the strengths of this team lie on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, let's start with the D-line. We've got a lot of depth there. And again, you're going to continue to hear that word. And then some people will say, well, depth, how about, do you have good players? And I think it's a combination, right? You know, let's start William Whitlow, you know, him returning after an all-conference, you know, performance last year. Excited about what he's capable of. As you guys know, we play a three down front, so we got a lot of guys that may get in the rotation. And then linebacker, right? Let's start Sam Brumfield, play a lot of football, college football. And then some other guys that have played, right? The Cam Burns, the Drew Watts, the Everett Russos. We're excited to see what they're capable of, you know, day in and day out. So, you know, you're sitting there saying, well, you're right, those are some names. And then a lot of NFL scouts are coming in on our corners. And again, sometimes I look at things through different color lenses sometimes. But I think our corners for the first, you know, look, I love the corners we've had in the past. But a lot of people sit there saying, man, we got two legit corners. Obviously last year we had two really good ones as well. With Duke Cooper, all right, the transfer that Florida State, Colorado, flopped back to Florida State and into us. And then Chauncey Logan, the James Madison transfer. He's not getting enough attention. I think Tiger fans are going to be excited to go out there and watch him play as well.
All right, now to the new guy behind center. Everybody wants to know about him. Brendan Lewis will start on Saturday. What have you seen from Brendan so far through spring and through fall camp that gave you the confidence to throw him out there game one this season?
Yeah, let's start with the one word that I think is as important as any for the quarterback play, consistency, right? Like anybody can go put together a five-minute highlight tape on YouTube. He has been very, very consistent, and he's smart. He's athletic. He's got great arm strength. He understands his offense. You know, and like a lot of our quarterbacks, I mean, you roll into the building at 5:15, you're late because he's already in the building. You know, he's working, he's watching film. You know, most mornings he's here by 4:55 and grinding. And he's got that mindset. And, you know, and I get Tiger fans will sit there and say, well, statistics, you know, hadn't been as great. He hadn't won a ton of football games. You're exactly right. And that's our job to teach him how to win and show him. And he is a winner. It's so important to him. I told him the other day, I said, you know, the only thing I want you to do is take care of the football and go find ways to win football games. And that's all he cares about as well. He loves this place. I think he's going to put on an exciting show with what he's capable of doing. He can make all the throws. So could not be more thrilled with him being there, our signal caller.
All right. Now, stylistically, with Brendan, it seems like this offense will go through a bit of a change. It'll look a little bit different. A different guy behind center, of course, but he's got one big thing that seems to be a massive plus, his legs. He ran for nearly 800 yards last year in the Mountain West. You have two backs as well with loads of experience in Greg DeRosier Jr. and, of course, Sutton Smith coming back from injury. How much differently do you expect this offense to be called?
Yeah, and to be honest, not a ton, right? Like, there's things that we did. When Sutton got hurt last year, you know, we knew that Mario Anderson was more, you know, hey, let's stay behind the O-line and call some more mid-zone and inside-zone concepts. You know, I do think we do have the ability to play Sutton and Greg at wide receiver. As Mario had a great skill set, but I don't think anybody looked at Mario and said, hey, this guy could be a wide receiver. Whereas
right.
I think Greg and Sutton have the ability to go, and I think that could be unique. We're able to do a little bit of that. If you guys remember, you know, Antonio Gibson came to us as a wide receiver, right? Kenny Gainwell, you know.
Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard came as a safety, right? And then eventually to receiver and then to running back. So, you know, again, I'm not saying that those two are Tony Pollard, Kenny Gainwell, but they have the same skill set. And so back in the day when we were able to do some 20 personnel, 21 personnel with two true running backs, right? Not necessarily fullback. I think we can do some of that down the road. I think there's the ability to, you know, maybe on a, when we always had zone reads, well, if the defensive end, if they're not squeezing and scraping with the back, or maybe if they're not playing sound, the quarterback's going to keep it more so than, you know, we had done in the past. And again, no knock on Seth. You guys know my love for him and for Brady and Riley and all of the above. But, you know, when you have a quarterback that maybe built a little bit differently, can maybe run a little bit faster, one of those pulls, instead of going for 3 yards, may go for six.
Right.
Go for hopefully 40, you know. So so I don't think we're going to sit there and call a completely different game. And again, right, what's he going to look like when the lights come on, you know, 3:32 on Saturday, and putting him in the right spots and the players around him to make, you know, plays.
So in other words, the terminology and the schematics, the bones of the offense, you expect to still look the same?
Well, yeah, I got to be careful of the terminology. I want to make sure you're not stealing our signals.
Okay, yeah, I got to be. Yeah, you had something like that happen. You got to be careful. But to that, all of the bones, the bones are about the same going into this season.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, right, like this is the same offense we've been running for 10 years here with wrinkles every year and then every game plan, right? I don't sit there and say, okay, I'm going to go play golf on Tuesday because I've got this game plan figured out. Now, there's every week there's an infinite amount of wrinkles and certain plays we put in and take out and that's best suited for our opponent.
Now, last couple of things for the head ball coach over at the University of Memphis, Ryan Silverfield. You can follow him on X at R Silverfield. One new thing this year that we will see, fans will see, once they get into Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Obviously, they'll see sort of the bones, speaking of bones, they'll see the bones of what's going on with the renovations, but there'll be a sponsorship agreement with FedEx, and FedEx will be in the end zone, FedEx will be on the sideline, and you're going to see a lot of that FedEx logo. But this was announced last week. How truly, in your opinion, important is that deal for the future of not just Memphis football, but Memphis athletics?
Yeah, it's monumental, right? I mean, obviously our relationship with FedEx, and couldn't be more thrilled for that partnership. And, you know, everybody knows what they've meant to our athletic department, our football program, but gosh darn, what that corporation has meant to this city and to this world. I mean, so much respect and appreciation for them, obviously. You know, as important to me as the remembrance of Fred Smith and what he meant to this city with the patch we're able to wear on our jerseys, to honor him, and it's the absolute least we can do. But the FedEx partnership's huge. It's welcome to college football. You know, I mean, you're seeing more and more teams. I saw that, you know, some team is using a wood chipping company, right, like on their sidelines. And, you know, before you know it, we're going to look like NASCAR drivers and be all suited right and booed with every top of the logo going on. But that's, hey, guess what? It's part of it.
Yep. Now, you've been here for the better part of a decade. When will it have been a full decade, curiously?
So I got here, my last game coaching was January, I believe, 2nd, 2016, versus the Chicago Bears in Soldier Field when I was with the Lions. I'd accepted the job about a month prior. But, yeah, so really January 2nd, or whatever, 4th, I arrived here and was officially a Memphis Tiger. So, you know, get through the season. Hopefully we're still playing in January, which would be phenomenal. But yeah, it's you're exactly right. Been here. This is my 10th season and couldn't be more thrilled.
All right. Now, we know, and expectations were high then because it was sort of the start of the build, and they're higher now, right? The expectations every single year at the University of Memphis just continue to elevate, and that's a good thing. But there's a lot of programs around the country and coaches around the country that could tell you you can become a prisoner of your own expectations. But with these expectations that have been created, sort of that American title or bust in a lot of people's minds, I think something that coincides with them is the deals like we just talked about with FedEx, where resources are pouring into a program so that expectation remains as high as it is. Now, I'm not blind to the fact that there are other schools, even in this conference, contrary to what other people believe, in this conference that are doing their thing, doing what they can. What's your reaction to the sort of, you know, how much those conversations coincide? Expectations and resources, you know, the sentiment that seems to always collide when we talk about Memphis football here at 92.9 or at Sports 56, just in the media. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, first and foremost, the high expectations are a tremendous thing. That means we've put this program and elevated it to a national respectful one. You and I both know 2 years prior to us arriving here, there were very low expectations.
Right.
And articles that were about a disrupt program possibly not continuing. And the reality of it is that we've been able to build this thing. And I'd like to say that I've had a small part and continue to take this thing to a new level. I like the fact that, you know, we've won 21 games in the last 2 years and every Power Four team we've beaten, right? Iowa State in the Liberty Bowl and at Florida State and West Virginia won a bunch of bowl games. I like the fact that fans aren't satisfied with that because guess what? Neither is your head football coach. 100% our goal is to win the conference title, right? Like it, if we win 8 games and allows us to win the conference title, so be it. That's the most important thing. And I wake up every morning with that being the only thing on my mind, right? How do we get better today eventually to maybe win a conference championship under my watch? And that's the goal. And I get it. And I love the fact that that's the expectation here. That's a tremendous thing. And we are so, so very fortunate. Our administration has done a tremendous job with the relationships in order to be able to get the resources in place. I've worked tirelessly to also assist in this. I've been very fortunate. I have a tremendous relationship with the Smith family that has allowed for some of these things to occur. But that's not to sit here and pat myself on the back. I give the administration, the athletic department, a great deal of respect and appreciation for what they've done. And that's a great thing, right? We want to be considered and to continue to play for conference championships. You have to have the resources. I mean, it happens all the time. My good friend Dan Lanning says, Oregon, right? Like, you guys want us to win a national title. Well, yes, we need to have that Nike money. We need to have it flow in. You know, South Florida, the head coach came out and said, oh, they've got the highest amount of rev share in our conference. It's not even close. They've got $8 to $10 million for football. And if that's true, they are significantly higher than us, and good for them. I mean, that's part of it. People are trying to elevate their programs at every different level. And so we're very, very fortunate here. And I understand that as we continue to get more resources, the expectations will be higher. No different. Texas Tech, right? Spending some $30+ million on their roster. Well, I'm sure their athletic director is saying, hey, listen, if you're spending $32 million on the roster, you better find a way to win a bunch of football games and do it the right way. You get these head coaches, they're making significant amount of money, right? You know, whether it's the head coach at Tulane making over $4 million, well, they have those high expectations for them. And that's part of it. And I'm thrilled. I'm so honored that our fans want exactly what we want, and that's to win the conference title. And we're going to go out there every single day, fighting our tails off. Every morning I walk in this office to get that conference title that our fans so deserve, and that I promise them that we're working tirelessly for it. Our players only care about that, but it's a 1-0 focus. The only way we can get to that is by having a really good walkthrough this morning and doing what we need to do on Saturday, right? We can't win the conference title this Saturday, but guess what? We can find a way to try to win a football game and play at a high level and improve ourselves and put ourselves in situations to continue to fight and be in that fight.
And final thing for Ryan Silverfield, head coach over at Memphis, on X at R Silverfield. We have worlds colliding. The team that started this bowl streak, which very few teams in the country have been able to accomplish in that time period. The 2014 team going to be back on campus releasing the Tigers. You excited for that? I know I'll be there, but I've gotten the grand tour. We're going to have a lot of guys that were playing with me getting the grand tour of the facilities that they, well, truthfully, that they don't get to enjoy. that they don't get to enjoy even sort of after laying that groundwork. No shade by any stretch of the imagination, but this is it should be sort of a fun afternoon with the 2014 team. No.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm thrilled. You know, you guys always know how much respect I have for the teams and the people that came before us and before me. I have so much respect. Even I had the pleasure and the honor to coach you, Gabe Kuhn. But, like, listen, you know, some of these names I've already seen that are coming back, couldn't be more thrilled with, like, Sam Kraft. I mean, gosh darn. Love
right.
Sam. Alan Cross, we know what he meant. We got Fritz Etienne talking to our team tomorrow night. Taylor Fallon's going to be back. I'm looking at some of these names as I go through. Gabe Kuhn, RSVP. Paxton Lynch will be in the house.
Oh, how about it? See, I was wondering about Paxton. I've been trying to go back and forth, give him a call. Good. That's awesome.
We know Phil Mayhew's been phenomenal, giving back. Donald Pennington, Chris Morley. The names go on. So many of these guys. I'm excited to see. Jackson Dillon will be back in the house. So, like, listen, some of you guys, I may slip a helmet and say, hey, go get three more players. I talked to the NCAA. You still got some eligibility.
I don't know. These JUCO rules and these COVID rules still enacted may have some eligibility left out there. Who knows?
Absolutely. Well, listen, Gabe, as always, a pleasure. Tiger fans, we need you guys to show up. Saturday, we'll show up Friday for our victory walk. We'll all see you there, Gabe. But then the Tiger walk on Saturday, and then it's going to be gorgeous weather for 3:30 kickoff. We need all of our fans in the stands being loud and proud. As always, I appreciate you guys. Go Tigers, go.
Great stuff. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, sir.
Yes, sir. He is Ryan Silverfield, head football coach over at the University of Memphis. University of Memphis takes on Chattanooga coming up on Saturday, 3:30 inside Simmons Bank. Liberty Stadium.